Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Got the shloka, yeah?
22,
23. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so this is, yeah, verse 222, chapter 8 from Majjalila, Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Braja lokir kon bhav loya je bhaje.
Baba
yogya deha panya Krishna pai braje.
Braja
lokir kon bhav loya je bhaje.
Baba
yogya deha paya Krishna paya braje.
Baba yogya deha paya Krishna paya braje.
Braja lokir kona bhav loya je bhaje.
Braja lokir kona bhav loya
je bhaje. Baba yogya deha paya Krishna paya braje.
Go. We have to do another shloka, but go ahead.
In his liberated stage, a devotee is attracted by one of the five humors in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. As he continues to serve the Lord in that transcendental mood, he attains a spiritual body to serve Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. Verse 223.
Tahate drishtanta upanishad shrutigan. Raga marge bhaje paila rajendra nandan. Tahate drishtanta upanishad shrutigan. Raga marge bhaje paila rajendra nandan.
Somebody else? Is it up there? We're going to chant this.
Tahate drishtanta upanishad srutigan.
Ladies?
Tahate.
In this matter,
drishtanta,
the example,
Upanishad Shrutigan,
the great sages known as the personified Upanishads or Shrutis,
Mraga Marge,
on the path of spontaneous love,
Bhaji,
worshipping,
Poyala,
obtain.
Rajendra Nandana,
the lotus feet of Lord Krishna.
Lotus feet of Lord Krishna.
Translation.
Those saintly persons who presented the Upanishads are vivid examples of this. By worshiping the Lord on the path of spontaneous love, they attained the lotus feet of Brijendanandana, the son of Nanda Maharaj. Purport. In the Goloka Vrindavan planet, Krishna's servants are headed by Raktak and Patrak. Krishna's friends are headed by Sri Dama, Subal, and others. There are also elderly gopis and the coward man headed by Nanda Maharaj, Mother Yashoda, and others. All of these personalities are eternally engaged in the loving service of the Lord in accordance with their specific attachments for Krishna. One who wants to return home to serve the Lord directly is attracted to Krishna as a servant, friend, father, or mother. By continuously serving Krishna during this life in a particular ecstasy, one gives up the material body and attains a suitable spiritual body to serve Krishna in terms of a particular attachment. One may serve as a servant, friend, father, or mother. In the same way, if one wants to serve Krishna in conjugal love, he can also attain a body under the guidance of the gopis. The most vivid example in this connection is those saintly personalities known as Shrutis who presented the Upanishads. These Shrutis understand that without serving Krishna and following in the footsteps of the gopis, there is no possibility of entering the kingdom of God. Therefore, they engage in spontaneous loving service unto Krishna and follow in the footsteps of the gopis. Omagyanata marandusya gananjana saraka chakshuram ritam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Tahate dishtanta upanishad shruti gam ragamargi bhaje paila brajendra nanda. Those saintly persons who presented the Upanishads are vivid examples of this. By worshipping the Lord on the path of spontaneous love, they attained the lotus feet of Brijendanandana, the son of Nanda Maharaj. And on the very next verse is one of the prayers also of the Shrutigana in the 87th chapter of 10th canto. I happened to look at that recently, and if you see the 87th chapter and even just the purports by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, you'll be very challenged. Your mind will be very challenged. Some of the purports are 2-3 pages with small type, and there Vishwanath Chakravarti has set up his conversation where these Shrutis are speaking, and then Krishna, in the form of Vishnu there, he is challenging them in various ways. Well, you're saying this, but, and the Shrutis have to come back and argue with Vishnu himself. There's quite interesting conversations there. If you remember in that beginning of this, that chapter, that it was said that the Vedas, they're actually a material sound. How can they describe Krishna or the Supreme Brahman in any way? Because the Supreme Brahman has no, his inner desh has no particular form. Navijate yasya cha janma karma va nama rupe guna dosha eva ba. He has no jati. Especially, the Vedas generally deal with, as Krishna says, the modes of nature or the material world also. So it's a challenge for the Shrutis. But these Upanishads and the representative, the personified Shrutis, they are so expert, they could defeat even Krishna when he's challenging them. And they are very satisfying to Krishna. They got a benediction that they would, in this particularly one particular time, they were so satisfying to Vishnu that he gave them a benediction. He asked you, I will give you any benediction. They said, well, actually our real desire is that we become gopis in Vrindavan. We understand this is the highest, and here we are, we're simply the Shrutis, but this we understand. And they actually speak like that in several portions, not all the Upanishads,
But so many are pointed out by our acharyas, especially in these purports by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that Tanum Swam, there's no Tena Labhyas, that on our own even we cannot hope to become knowledgeable to any degree, or we're bound in this material world. So the Shrutis, they enunciate all the problems in this material world and how to become free from the entanglement in this material world. And this is one of the things that Tasyaisha Atma Vivinate Tanum Swam. He reveals himself. Nayam Atma Pavachanena Labhyo Na Bahuna Shutena. Not by any amount of, even if we memorize some of the impersonalists, they also can memorize all the Upanishads, I'm sure. But within the Upanishads, Gopal Upanishad, and even Isha Upanishad, the various Upanishads, Sveta Svetara, Nityo Nityanam, Chaitanas Chaitanam, hints are given, and actually subtle hints. The Upanishads are Parokshavara. They're given and subtly described also by Vishwanath Chakravarti. Because in the beginning, Krishna or Vishnu was arguing that your arguments seem very strange, that you're giving these answers. It doesn't make sense to me. And they argue, they say, no, our answers are very subtle, just as you are very subtle and understanding of you is subtle, therefore our answers have to be very subtle. One of the verses actually is quoted in Bhagavad Gita, Parimita Dhruvas Tanabhito Yari Sarvagatas Dhruvasarva, that one of the things the Upanishads speak, these are very complicated verses to memorize and understand, but if anyone has the brain power, they can try for it, depending, of course, if like some of our members, Krishna Sarup, he may be able to understand them more quickly if you know Sanskrit, but even by hearing the translations and the purports given by Vishwanath and other acharyas, actually Vishwanath himself in the beginning of his purports, he said, I am grasping the lotus feet of Sanatana Goswami and Sridhar, ancient Sridhar Swami, at the pillars, by these pillars. And he, very humbly, he says that I'm sure that all my superiors will be laughing at me trying to describe this subject matter. Even his vast erudition, he still was feeling so insignificant to describe such a conversation. Such shlokas as these prayers by the personified Vedas. He said he described himself like a jewel merchant who doesn't know really about jewels. I'm selling jewels. I'm giving out these jewels, trying to describe. I don't really know about these jewels. Describing himself as an outsider, not knowing anything. What to speak of us? Vishwanath Chakravarti is speaking like that. But amazingly enough, it's been translated, mercy of Bhanu Swami, and he is simply acting and giving whatever Vishwanath is given in these prayers. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, actually even in the ninth chapter, the next chapter, comes a conversation where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes to South India, to Sri Rangam, and there he has so many wonderful conversations, Benkata Bhatta, and Prabodhananda Saraswati. That time, Gopal Bhatta was a small boy, maybe 6, 7, 8. And one of those conversations specifically, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was joking with Benkata Bhatta about these, he said that Lakshmi couldn't get entrance, but these Shrutis, they got entrance. Ki Karan, can you tell me the cause, how the Shrutis got entrance into the rasa dance, whereas Lakshmi cannot? So Venkata Bhatta, he was completely flabbergasted. He said, I didn't. He was a great Brahmin, the head pujari in Sri Rangam. In those days, even now, the head pujaris in these great temples, they're great pundits. And what to speak of 500 years ago, associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, I am an insignificant person. You please describe this to me. So he described something of it. The importance of this spontaneous
as it says here, Ragamarg. Without this Ragamarg, there's Ragamarg Shakti. It's described in other places. Gyanashunya Bhakti. This is what we're after. The impersonalists, and even these great pundits in South India, they are great pundits, but they don't have this bhav feeling. Mahaprabhu is the personified bhav, Radha Bhava Dyuti Suvalitam Nomi. So they, obviously, they had to defer. He was exhibiting, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first came into the Sri Rangam temple, all he did was walk in and start dancing and chanting, and then all the great pundits were amazed. Well, who is this personality? They didn't know anything, because mostly they're studying the Vidhi Bhav, rules and regulations. Of course, without the Vidhi, the regulation, one cannot be qualified to attain this Ragamarg platform. So this is what's being described here in these two verses. One of the five humors, Bhava Yogya Deha Paya Krishna Paya Vraje. This is the goal, to get to read here in natural progression, whether it begins with Shraddha Anushari, Uttam Madhyam Kanishya Shraddha Anushari. The natural progression is there. Any one of these steps we cannot dispense with. Right now, this is a step. We're reading about it. As Srila Bhakti Siddhanta used to caution, Puja Ragopata, Gaurava Bhangi. Many times he would state this in different ways. Puja Ragopata, Gaurava Bhangi. We keep this bhav, Ragopata bhav, Puja, worshipable, on our head, above our head. Ramya Kachirupasana, Rajavadu, Vargena Yakalpita. Mahaprabhu is described in many ways that this is the highest, Rajavadu, Vargena Yakalpita, that one should take up this path. One cannot take it up in the wrong way. It is said that Srila Bhakti Saranta, our Param Guru, most worshipable, without whom we would know nothing and have no attraction, and we wouldn't be sitting here, that he himself spent 90% of his preaching was to point out what is not Ragamarg, how not to attain the position of Gopi Bhav, Manjari Bhav. And 10% he spent describing how it should be. Even going to Radhakund, different times, he sat in the middle of Radhakund, Shamakund, and he would describe Upadeshamrita. So the people there expecting, oh, this great pundit. Sometimes he was describing seventh canto of Prahlad Leela, just to show the importance of Bhagavatam, and also to acknowledge in a way that the people there were not really some of the persons he thought were not really qualified on this platform, because this is a very private thing. This Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati would also say, Amar Bhajan Kahibo Nahi Jata Tata. I don't go everywhere and everywhere speaking of my bhajan, speaking or like that. This is something to be cultivated within oneself. And then, Sajate Asai Snigde Saru Sangha Sato Vare. If you find some bhaktas are there in your level, so we have to be careful what is our level, and also try to get the association, Tanum Swam, then this will be revealed to us. If we always keep these teachings, especially Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Prabhupada, they are very careful. Even Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, one of his old friends, was staying in Radhakund at the time, a doctor, and that he knew from his childhood days. And he said, you please come to my house, we're speaking on this Rasa Leela. We'll be speaking there. So when he came there with one of his sannyasis, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, he came in to the area where they were speaking, and they were speaking on this very, very high topics, elevated. So he paid his respects, his obeisances, then he left. So immediately his friend came out and said, Maharaj, where are you going? We're speaking now on Rasalila. He said, yes, but I'm not qualified to hear this. Rasalila, pastime. So always extremely careful. Pujala Raghupata. Gaurava means great respect. We treat these pastimes, Vajralila pastimes. But we can read it. I mean, just now I was reading, but it's not something to be put in the marketplace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta would caution. That here, we don't put the greatest jewel, even the jewel merchant. You see, and you go to any jewelry store, whether Vrindavan, anywhere, they keep most expensive jewelry as locked up carefully. Not, Prabhupada said, why people don't take to this Krishna consciousness is the jewel, Prema Ratana Dana, Hela Harainu. Narottam Das, so many of Acharyas have described, Prema Ratana Dana, this greatest jewel of Prema that we're after. And he says, Hela Harainu, I neglected it. I didn't get it. Kisuka Lagia. And he says, I should have died not taking this jewel. But it's there, especially in the Harinam. By taking the Harinam, Harinam Sankirtan, Hoybe Sabar, you get everything. Mahaprabhu said, you take this Hare Krishna mantra unceasingly, then you can develop gradually the qualification. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, what did he do for 7 years? Or he chanted rounds every day, like 3 lakhs of rounds. So, and if there was any rain, he would just put up his umbrella if it was pouring through. So that is one-pointed, fixed attention on the Harinam. He didn't prescribe anything but the Harinam. Sometimes Prabhupada was asked also, is this all your offering? And he would say, I have nothing else to give you than this Harinam. And sometimes he would say something different. When John Lennon and Yoko Ono, they said, you're only giving this Hare Krishna? Are you giving anything else? So Prabhupada said, there are so many mantras, and they are sung also. Young Brahma Varunendra Udramurutastun Vanti Devaistavai Vedai Sangopani. They wanted some secret mantra, maybe some higher thing than Hare Krishna. So Prabhupada wouldn't have that. But he said that everything is sung. Song Veda, song. Sounds like song. He said, in that verse, Prabhupada quoted to them, Young Brahma Varunendra Udramurutastun Vanti Devaistavai Vedai Sangopani Upanishadik Upanishadar. Gayanti Yang Samada. All these Vedic mantras are sung, and similarly all the Shruti mantras that we hear in the 87th chapter, they're also all Bhagavatam. The Sukadev Sanghita, the Bhagavatam is also called Sukadev. It's all sung. So when we develop a taste gradually for hearing this nectar, otherwise the Shrutis also say, without glorification, they more or less say the same thing that it says in second canto in the Bhagavatam, that our senses are empty. We're like dead bodies. Shavau karo no kurupe saparayam harila sakkanchana kankanova. And our breathing is like the bellows. They're simply breathing bellows. Very nice analogy. Tarava kim na jivanti. Kim game pashavo pare. What will you do? Tarava kim na jivanti. You're living so long and running and keeping very healthy, very nice body. So Bhagavatam says, Tarava kim na, the trees are also living longer than you. The idea is to develop this love for Bhagavatam. And gradually, little by little, we love to hear first canto. And Prabhupada became angry once and he said, they only want to paint Krishna with gopis. Let them paint Krishna controlling the universe. Because we want to become servant after all. These aspiration of the Vedas, the Shrutis,
They want to become gopi. Gopi means servant. Dasa, 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 anudasa. Rasostu, rasostu, me. Raghunath Das is describing also how the Radharani is also saying das, dasyaya me. Become servant, servant. We never lose the servant attitude. Not that we become suddenly we. As soon as that false ego rears its ugly face, then we lose our adhikar for understanding what is this Bhagavatam. So that has to be controlled, all the senses. We are always thinking, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, na prema gandos dorapi meharo. Na prema gandosti. Ganda means a scent. I don't have even a scent of love of Krishna. He was speaking with his intimate associates at the time. You find in the last chapters of Chaitanya Charita, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is speaking, Trinadapi Sunichena, Tororapi Sahishnana, Mani Namanadena, Kirtanya. He's giving such what we might call basic idea, that Trinadapi Sunichena, like the straw, humble like the straw. I don't have a scent of love for Krishna. If I just, or else why would I be living, maintaining this insect-like life? I could not exist for a moment if I had love. So if Mahaprabhu can show this, of course we can say, well, you're exhibiting the eight symptoms of Bhav, Mahabhav. No one has ever exhibited, and you can find Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's floating in the ocean, Konark, 20 miles. Ordinary person would have drowned. And his limbs are extended, sometimes they're withdrawn like a pumpkin. So all the Vedas are searching after this realization. But Mahaprabhu is given what not seen ever, even in any Veda. He's bestowed it. Nija Bhakti Yogam, Bairagi Vijay Nija Bhakti. Most munificent avatar. Kali Yuga Yuga Dharma Nama Sankirtan. Nobody understood that in this age. Of course, devotees were chanting that time. Still, Ha Vishvambara Ha Mahara Samaya Premaika Sampannide. He's Premaika Sampannide, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The only ocean of love of God, Premaika Sampannide. Ha Vishvambara. He's nourishing this entire universe. He's nourishing any love that we develop. It is all due to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and coming through Nityananda. We cannot approach directly. Gauranga bolite hobi pulaka. When will I get it? How will I get it? Rupa Raghunatha pare hoi byakuti. If I get enthusiastic, Narottam Das is saying, what to speak of us? He's very enthusiastic. He's writing a song for our benefit. But Gauranga bolite hobi. Just by hearing Gauranga, ha Gauranga bolite hobi. Pulaka sharir, then my hairs will stand on end. When that time will come. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is also praying like that. This is our aspiration. Rupa Raghunatha Padi. Bishama Bishaya Bisha Satta. Meanwhile, Bishama Bishaya Satta Kaina. We're drinking this horrible fiery poison of this material sense gratification. That is keeping us bound up, and we cannot enter into this. But the more we study, the more we hear, develop a taste, Krishna Bhakti Rasa, then tatra loyam, not just the taste, but the greed. I don't have a taste, but let me get a taste. Let me just get a taste of a desire to have a taste. I don't have a taste now. So we've been reading this, some of the stuff from the some of the statements about Prabhupada speaking about the Harinam. So sometimes Prabhupada would say, by reading the Shastra, by reading these prayers, even Prahlad's prayers, he said, non-different from the Hare Krishna. You get a taste. By our meditation on the prayers, you get more of a taste to chant Hare Krishna. And by chanting Hare Krishna, you get more of a taste to read the Bhagavatam. It's increasing. Ananda Mudi Vardhanam. Ananda Mudi Vardhanaika Nipano. Six Goswamis, they're simply absorbed. Krishna Kirtana Gana Nartana. Day and night. Aharnisham. They're sleeping maybe an hour or 2 hours. That is a taste. Not that let me force myself to stay up. No. We couldn't sleep, so absorbed. How could they write that? They didn't live for 200-300 years in that body that they displayed. They were only, Mahaprabhu was also 48 years. So, but they were Nana Shastra Vicharanaya, knew all the Shastras. You cannot follow that. You cannot imitate that. You can follow it. You cannot imitate that. Gopi Bhavra Samrita Abdalahari, diving and swimming. But still, even then, they were saying, Hara He Vrajadevi Ke Chalalite He, He Radhe Vrajadevi Ke Chalalite. And are you there? Where are you now? Are you on the Kalindi, on the Jamuna, Govardhana Pata? Are you at the Govardhana? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati also said, I'm not qualified to stay in the Radhakund. I can stay in Govardhana because my gurus, they can stay in Radhakund and I can serve them, not too close. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, just like the dog, Tomaro Kukor. So we want to be the servant. Then with extreme service attitude, then any of this will naturally flow, all the steps. Then when we're finished, ahankara mattahoya, with this intoxication of ahankar, we can fully take shelter of Lord Nityananda, asatya rasatya korimani, instead of entering into this asate vilas, enjoying this asat, temporary manifestation, we have to become absorbed in the sat. So many amazing things Vishnath Chakravarti gives it, what sat means. Three big paragraphs can mean this, can mean that. Because the whole chapter of the Shruti Gana is a follow-up of the last verse in the 86th chapter, based on one word, one syllable, sat. What is sat? So Bhagavatam is extremely amazing, unlimited. And so after many births, we get the chance to read Bhagavatam and read Chaitanya Charitamrita. Then we have to take full advantage of it. Artificially, to think what is my spiritual body, that is not necessary, according to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. But that will be given by the chanting of the holy name. Purnavikashita, when the name enters the senses, the tongue, just by going on the tongue, Sanatana Goswami says, Mukyo Vag Indriye. When the tongue becomes so intoxicated and we hear the holy name properly, then all the senses become completely spiritualized. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, then gradually the bud within the heart opens up, and that holy name itself, Purnavikashita, Rupa Guna, Dekya, Guna Rupa, all the qualities, the form of Krishna will be shown. And Siddha Deha
will be given. The perfect body will be given simply by this chanting of the holy name. Krishna nam dare koto bal. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda says, how much power is in this holy name? So much power. All within the holy name. So, any comments on this?
Nine years and four months. And I have the exact wording here if you want to hear.
The wording?
Yeah, it says, a billion names. During 1905, at the age of 31, Sri Siddhanta Sarasvati took a vow to chant daily at least 3 lakh holy names and monthly at least 10 million until he had chanted 1 billion names. He chanted on a japa mala given by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who had himself used them to fulfill a vow of chanting a billion holy names. I just wonder where this japa mala is. I would like to see it, you know. Sri Siddhanta Sarasvati's Shatakoti Nama Jagya, which he performed before a deity of Lord Chaitanya, lasted just over 9 years and 4 months.
He started when?
At the age of 31 in 1905. And was punctuated by much struggle and several colorful incidents, including attempts to oust him from Mayapur. Yet, he was determined to continue service there, no matter what.
So, we don't know when Bhaktivinoda Thakur did his vow. Maybe he might have done it later. Is it Mukunda? When did he, do 9 straight years? He just did it intermittently. Huh? I know he did it before Bhaktisiddhanta, but he did it, so he did it before, but we don't hear about it. When you read the Svalokita Jivani, it doesn't seem like he took out 9 straight years to do it. That's all I'm saying.
And in the case of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it was not straight. It was over a course of years that he took this vow to do like this.
Right. Sorry, Pastor. Anything?
But one thing, I think, sometimes there's a lot of confusion because it's just the mood of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and the mood of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and the time that they were preaching and the time that they were giving things was some different. So it's important to understand that kind of historical context. I don't want to go into the whole thing here, but devotees can go back. There's so much literature written on it. During that time, from the time of Akeshwara Pandit, he had one disciple named Dhyanachandra Goswami. Dhyanachandra Goswami wrote a manual to practice Raganuga Bhakti. It was called Gauragovind Smaran Archan Padati. Originally, the book was intended for perfected beings to use as a kind of manual. But just like we have books today, eventually it got in the marketplace, so to speak, and all kinds of people got it. When all kinds of people got a hold of the Padati, they began to practice it in irregulated ways. People who were not qualified were practicing it. So this just added to the proliferation of Sahajavad, which had become so prominent. Many of the Vaishnavs, prominently Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, was very much against this. But because Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur belonged to the community of Nirupadi Vaishnavs, in other words, he was practicing in that system, he was writing against it and doing many things, but he prayed to have a son, which eventually is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who could make the practical reformations against it. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, much of his preaching against that was direct reaction and response to the proliferation of Sahajavad, which had built up over years, and Mayavad in Radhakund and other places like that. But he wanted that those who were true practitioners of Vaishnav coming in the line of Mahaprabhu to be able to clearly understand what is Raganuga practice, when it begins. Like Raganuga practice in earnest begins in Ruchi. It's fully practiced in the stage of Bhav. But prior to that, what we're practicing is called Raganuga Pravritti. Because by Vaidhi Bhakti, clearly Chaitanya Charitamrita is saying, Sakale jagate mori vairi bhakti braja bhav paiti nai sakti. That by vairi bhakti you cannot go to braj. So If we were practicing strictly Vaidhi Bhakti,
we wouldn't be, we'd be wasting our time.
Exactly. So the thing is, what is this? And it's called Raganuga Pravritti. In other words, we are following the rules and regulations, as you said, because we don't have a taste fully developed if we haven't come to Ruchi. So, but for instance, the practices that we practice, if you, the song of Guru Astakam in the morning, the Tulsi Parikrama, the prayers, they're all Raganuga Sadhan practices. So it's important, I think, for devotees to understand, and then gradually following very strictly all rules, regulations, everything, but understanding, because other than that, there'll be like mass confusion. If I'm Vaidhi Bhakti, am I going to Vaikuntha? Am I doing this? What am I doing? So it's kind of important to study and get clear what that is.
Good. Anything else? Krishna Sarup? Make him say something.
No.
Quote a verse. Quote one of the prayers of personified Vedas. You can do it, I know. You can say, you know some?
I don't remember.
Anybody else? Sukadev's got it.
I just wanted to mention, on the other hand, that Srila Prabhupada, he made, you know, he started out with 64 rounds, 32 rounds, 16 rounds. He gave us the program, you know, Mangalartik, Srimad Bhagavatam class, doing service, and ideally in the evening, the program, the perfect program, so that it would just all, it would just all happen for us. All these different stages, they'll all happen if we chant, you know, even 16 rounds sincerely, according to Srila Prabhupada's instruction. Him being a resident of Vrindavan, that he will bring us back. We've seen it. He promised it to us, and so it's happening.
Adi, Dave, Lynn.
This morning after Mongol Adi, who was reading? Ranga Govinda was reading exactly what she said.
Right.
That I can't remember, I'm going to paraphrase, but Prabhupada was saying, even if someone is not erudite, is not inclined to erudition, he can just chant and eat prasadam and go back home, back to God.
But when you go back, and then you, like he said, you could be confused, because Lord Chaitanya, at one point in Chaitanya Bhagavat, he made a statement that from now on, I don't take prasadam in the house of anyone unless he's a lakeshwara. And everyone was thinking, in those days, lakeshwara meant that you had a lakh of rupee. A rupee was a lot of money. And everyone was very depressed. And then he said, no, I meant you have to chant a lakh of rounds in order to feed me. And then Karelam Nirbanda, that he's unceasing chanting, he's saying, by unceasing chanting. But of course, there's some prachar there.
Another amazing thing was, I remember 1975, when I joined in L.A., and this was the program. You woke up at 3:30, you took your shower, everything, you chanted as many rounds as you could before Mangalarti, Tulsi Parikrama, you chanted some more rounds, Srimad Bhagavatam class. Then it was time for breakfast. You took breakfast. After that, you went and you did whatever your service was, cleaning or whatever the case is. And then after that, it was time to, you know, whatever your service was. Like in my case, at that time in the Bhakti program, you went in the kitchen. So you worked in the kitchen, preparing lunch and everything until lunchtime. At lunchtime, you took lunch. You had 1 hour to lay down. Then Agni Dev took you on Harinam for 4 hours or 5 hours. If not, you went on Sankirtan to wherever you were going for 4, 5, 6 hours. You got back just in time to run upstairs, take a shower, come down for, definitely you had to be at Sundararti. So Sundararti, after Sundararti, there was Bhagavad Gita class, or other devotees went to Nectar Devotion, this and that, hot milk or whey, you went to sleep and started all over. If you did 16 rounds and the rest of your day was like that, you're going back to Godhead. There's no question about it. The question would be, if I chanted 16 rounds, and then I had 4 hours of television, 5 of talking on the phone, 3 of this or that.
How about Facebook?
Or Facebook for another 3 or 4. So this is the difference. So Srila Prabhupada wrote in so many letters, the day has to be completely absorbed. So Prabhupada's program was designed to devotees almost 24 hours a day, with the exception of a little rest and a little eating, you were engaged. I mean,
yeah.
Prabhupada also said that Brahminical life means to bring eating and sleeping to nil. So that 6 hours that we got, Prabhupada said, so long you're sleeping, you're in Maya. He also said.
Well, it's just to problematize things. It seems if you do chant your rounds and then do Facebook the rest of the day, you still can go back to Godhead. It's just going to take a heck of a lot longer.
All right, Adi Dave still has some.
No, I just wanted you to finish your story. Did the Shrutis ever become gopis?
Of course, that's the whole idea. There's four types of gopis. You read it in chapter 29, and it's described, especially by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, that there's the Shruti, and there's the Deva gopis, who are demigods, the Shrutis, and there's the Muni Chari gopis. And the fourth category? There's four categories of gopis, and there's the Siddha gopis, who are actually perfected. They're coming from Deva, demigods especially. But there's the Muni Chari gopis, coming from the Munis during Ramchandra's time, and like that. So many type of gopis. Four especially types. Yes.
Because it's explained when you're finished in this lifetime, you go to where Krishna's having his pastimes. So that's the group that group.
Some of them are perfected, but others, three quarters of them are not on that highest platform yet.
Because it mentions in that Madhurya Kadambini that you still have anartas that are being removed, that only get removed when you're in those pastimes with Krishna. And it gave the example of the Munichari gopis that weren't allowed to go to the rasa dance at first. And it said that they gave up their body. So that was a guna dehi body. It wasn't the same kind of way that we think of it. They gave up. That was the last part of their anarta was taken, removed during that intense separation when Krishna was blowing his flute. And then they said, you can't go. Their husband stopped. Different people stopped them. So that brought up the threshold of such an intensity of the separation that it took care of the last part of the anarta.
Anything else? Jai. Chaitanya Charitamrita ki.